Hello, everyone. My name is James Sagerton. This is the January 23rd, 2024 meeting of the Pacifica National Finance Committee. I am the chair. We believe we have a quorum, and so I'm going to ask the secretary, R. Paul Martin, to take the role. R. Paul?
Okay. Please answer up when you hear your name. Teresa Allen? Lyndon Foley?
Here.
Mal Harris?
I'm here.
Julie Hewitt?
Here.
Christina Huggins?
Here.
Kim Kaufman?
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. James McFadden?
Here.
James Sagerton?
Here.
Elizabeth Von Gunten?
Here.
Okay, that's nine. You have a quorum.
Thank you, R. Paul. Okay, so we have convened the meeting. We've done the roll call. Now we're at adopting the agenda. I will read the agenda. Number one is convene meeting. Number two, roll call. Number three, adopt agenda. Number four is the chair's announcements for 2 minutes. Number five is review of the draft FY24 WBII budget. WBII General Manager Bertol Ramers presenting. That's 60 minutes. Number six is review the end-of-year consolidated monthly statements for the 12 months ending September 30th, 2023. That's for 20 minutes. Number seven is report from the executive director with Q&A. That's for 15 minutes. Number eight is minutes. That's for 5 minutes. Number nine is updates from the national office, KPFA, and WPFW on when the NFC may expect to receive their budgets. That's for 5 minutes. Finally, number 10, adjourn no later than 10:15 p.m. Eastern Time. Is there any discussion of the agenda? Hearing none, is there any objection to the agenda as read? Hearing none, that takes us to the next item, which is the chair's announcements. And tonight we will review the revised draft fiscal year 24 WBAI budget. Please check the NFC list to, I got another call coming in, excuse me, just a moment. Please check the NFC list to find it. Also, tonight we will review the, I already read that, time permitting. We will also hear a regular report from the Pacifica Executive Director, Stephanie Wells, tonight. Please look at any documents posted by the National Finance Committee Secretary, R. Paul Martin, on the NFC list. There are no other new announcements. So that brings us to number five, review of the draft FY24 WBII budget. Bertold, are you ready with your budget?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I presume everybody has seen it. It's been on the NFC list since last night. I just want to make an introductory comment to say that Stephanie and Bertold and I spent a lot of time working on this. I presume Markeisha was involved, but I don't know that for a fact. But we made a lot of adjustments into the categories that things are in. We made the numbers agree so that we have one set of numbers. And this is the result, which I think we were all pretty happy with. So, Bertol, I'm going to give you the floor. Go ahead. I want you to make your detailed presentation, and then we'll have questions.
All right. Good evening, everyone. Well, first of all, I want to say that, revised financials and revised budget, at the end of the day, the financials of the national office were only off from WBI's financials, QuickBooks, by about $32,000 or something like that. So it was very insignificant. That was an insignificant difference. So as per the committee, we spent a lot of time working with Stephanie so that we could remove the QuickBooks and then just use the national office numbers with explanations and put them next to the budget with explanations. We spent a lot of time explaining to Stephanie and then going back and forth with Stephanie and James over all these numbers. And Stephanie, I think I'd like to thank you in advance. I think Stephanie spent at least a good 8 to 10 hours probably helping us put this together with the comments to the right and agreeing or disagreeing and adjusting the numbers and then the explanation like in the comment section. So, listener support of fiscal year 2023, the national office has about a million 54. WBI has 820,000. So the explanation is the fiscal national office end of the year fiscal 2023 revenue included sustainer income of 270 and PSA income of 70, and for fiscal year 2024 the 270 has been moved to sustainer and the 70 has been moved to underwriting. The next line, corporate match, is about the same, so there's nothing to discuss. The difference of $21, that's nothing. Let me finish everything and then you can guys talk. Last time, you know, there was chaos because we went back and forth. Let me finish my whole presentation. Thank you. Sustainers, as mentioned in the first line of listener support, 270,000 was moved, the fiscal year 2024 proposed revenue. That's the BI buddies. Then, underwriting, the $70,000 PSAs that we made last year, so has been put in there. concerning community events, fiscal year 2023 has had nothing. We already had two events. That's actually close to $7,800 already. We have a lot more coming, but we did not include them. We only kept the $7,800 there. As far as the next line, major donor, $227,000 that national office has. We have $52,000 in the budget. PNO included $189,000 request. This has been removed from the proposed fiscal year 24 budget. Major gift include $21,000 and $31,000 gift. This revenue is not listed in the listener support. Then car donations increased by 1%, 10%. And then finally bequests. Bequests are not budgeted revenue, so that's zero. And grant income was $20,793 in the national office fiscal year 2023. It's $25,000, about 10% increase. So, the fiscal year 2023 with bequest, you know, is the $1.3 million, and the fiscal 2024 budget, the budget in 2024 is $1.25 million. So, it's $50,000 less, you know, not including bequest, whereas of the fiscal, the national office fiscal year included the bequest. So when we go into expenses, salaries and related expenses and health benefits, we left at the same level, although that we have shut down all overtime at WBI for the board app, which should bring in between $15,000 and $18,000. But since that's not proven and then there can be emergencies, we left it as is. Hopefully we will be able to shave off $18,000 from there. LSB election, Stephanie strongly suggested that we put $5,000 because we will have an election, projected to have an election this year, so that's an additional expense. For administrative expenses, national office has $289,000. We have $141,000 budgeted. Why? Consultant, national office had $164,000. We have $42,300. National office included all consultants. Fiscal year 2024, admin consultant includes webmaster and the newsletter designer only. Those are the numbers. Stephanie helped us move them into other lines that you will see later. Broadcast line, 4 men, 2 4 times the telephone, but the same. Internet cable, again, this is an office cable, phone line, call-in numbers, 2950, all that numbers that come into the main office and then to and into the main studio, that's 9,240. Postage, 1,900 versus 150. PNO, end of fiscal year 23 included premium shipping. Fiscal year 24 include miscellaneous office postage only in the budget. Then you have website. It's about the same. That's Amazon Web Service, the hosting and storage of broadcasting. Interest expense, $10,000. This is bank and PayPal and charges. These are pretty legit, straight up. Hopefully we'll save money because since we've consolidated our banks, the PayPal will more or less be the same. But Bank of America, we have all these accounts into one bank. Hopefully we'll get a better rate. Well, not hopefully. I'm pretty sure we'll get a better rate. Office and supply, $21,941 by the National Office. Fiscal year 2023 is $3,660. The National Office included programming and development expenses. That's not included there. Fiscal year 24 admin expenses is Google domain fees and constant contact subscription only. All these other numbers are going to be moved further down in under development as we go down. Office rent is $63,000. That's $5,300 a month. Rent lease of equipment is about the same as a copier machine printer. We use that to print just about anything, flyers. We do not, we renegotiated this. They give us the same price that we had 2.5, 3 years ago. So that's pretty good considering inflation and stuff like that. Kind of use. You know, relationship to negotiate that. Computer maintenance, even though we probably should put it there, we're not budgeting it. We could go without that. We just have brand new computers that we put in 1.5, 2 years ago. Hopefully there'll be no maintenance. Consultants, on the programming expenses, the national office had zero fiscal year 2023, and we have $48,000. That is because national office included all consultants into admin, and then fiscal year 2024 programming consultant includes only non-union board apps, producer, and morning show host, and then that number has been very significantly reduced because we only have one morning show host who's getting paid $500 a month or $6,000 a year. One of them was always free, gave us the service for free. The other three, one of them quit because we told them we could not pay them anymore. And then the other two, you know, are just kind of accepting it that way. One of them is on the leave of absence, but is supposed to come back, which is kind of shaking up a bit our morning drive time show. Also, the person who's getting the only consultant who's getting paid is generating $6,500 of grant and sponsorship for the whole WBAI every 6 months. So they are making more than their share of that expense. The next line, programming supplies, national office has zero. We have $3,600. National office pays these expenses all in admin and development. Fiscal year 24 includes Adobe Sound Edition and CleanFeed remote broadcasting software. So that, Stephanie and Marcia felt that we should probably put that into programming expenses, programming supplies. And, next year they will be coded properly. And then we should not have any of these discrepancies. Tower rent is tower rent. Tower utilities, same as here. Maintenance, technical. The national office had $474. Fiscal year 2023, we have $3,500. Includes computer maintenance, which was budgeted in admin. So the thing that was in admin, we moved it here. That's why the admin expenses are significantly lower on the budgeted versus the fiscal year ending 2023. Other programming expenses, the national office has $27,000. We have zero. The national office includes miscellaneous licensing fees and consultants. Fiscal year 24 moved the consultants and music license fees line. I moved them to consultant and music license fees line. Indeed, ASCAP and BMI, the next line over, we have $6,000, and the national office had those at zero. So these are the switching. And then the explanation on the right. Thanks a lot to a lot of editing and help of Stephanie to put that very precisely and agreeing that these are the things that have been moved from one line to another. Consultant now on the development expenses, national office had zero, fiscal year 23, we have $24,250. And then why is that? We're talking about this includes the two on-air pitchers, you know. So these are the people who are pitched and raise money and raise most of our money on air. So that number has been moved from consultant admin to over here. Volunteer, $1,525 MetroCard to a volunteer who comes in and does, you know, help us with premiums and all of that stuff. You know, it's an older guy, you know, he just needs transportation to get to the office. Basically comes in like 6 days a week at least on an average. Marketing and printing, we have 3,000, national office has zero. These are renewal forms, anything that has to do with printing forms, you know, anything of that sort. When we're sending letters and then insert to listeners with premiums, all of these things are part of that. Postage subscription renewal form, national office has 10,000. We have 2,500. As we see, we did some of that switch there. So what we did is fiscal year 2024, we included premiums and marketing postages only here. Premiums. $36,000. Cost of premium we had is at $28,000. We're making a significant effort to reduce premium, having a lot of in-house premium produced by WBI by building bridges. So that has been an ongoing effort, and then I know that that's something that Stephanie has been emphasizing. It's also at KPFK, wanted to reduce the cost of premium. Fund drive expenses. $60,000, $62,000. That's the call center. Until we're anticipating reducing, you know, the call center. Actually, moving that, porting that number back to BAI, having it ring at BAI first, having volunteer, including myself, Linda, anybody else at the station answering the phone to reduce, you know, because it charges per minute of answering the phone. And then if it rings three times, no one answers it at WBI, it will go to the call center. But we have to figure out how to pay them off. And we have to figure out how to pay them off and come with an understanding to make them understand that we will pay them off and port the number back to WBAI. So... others, national office had bundled a few in here, $26,499. We have $5,000. The piano, national office, fiscal year ending 2023, included admin and programming expenses. We only including fundraising event expenses, primarily DJ at SOB event. This expense will probably increase since we have more events, but, you know, we're going to try to see if we get as many volunteer people who do all these things for free. As a matter of fact, the SOB Latin Night, we had major well-known people like Tito or Eddie Palmieri of that type who gave us all their services for free. So that's what we're going to try to work towards. Premium PRA. You know, national offices had it at 500 last year. We have it at zero. Hopefully we'll use more premium from PRA and reduce the third-party premium vendors. So total expenses with our central service, last year we had $1.2 million. Right now we are projecting $1.152 million, reduction. So central services and national offices, $1.5 million. Now it's about $1.4 million for the budget. So the total revenue is $1.25 million. Net income, net loss without central services is $90,730. After central services, minus $170,982. Right now, before I take any questions, to ask Stephanie to make any comment that you would like. Considering that you spend a considerable amount of time, I mean, my estimate is at least 10 hours or more since the last National Finance Committee meeting to actually really help us put that together. Like, you know, like at least this is my presentation, but, you know, I cannot take credit for this completely. I think, you know, at least 50% of it was the work that you put to help us put this together.
No comment. I noted that there was a typo in line 41 that says end of fiscal year 13, but that's obviously end of fiscal year 23. But I think the key is, as we move forward, not just with WBAI, but with all of the stations, is that we really do spread out what some of these costs are. If they're programming costs, put them under the programming expense line. Development costs, put them under the development line. And, you know, also add that sustainers and underwriting line since there are stations that are doing those. So just kind of cleaning it up and then just making also the line items that we have match what our actual expenses and revenue are.
Thank you, Stephanie. Bertol, did you have any other comments?
No, I mean, that's basically it. I just wanted to extend the courtesy. And then if you have a comment, since you also spent quite some time, not as much as Stephanie, but spent quite a lot of time also in those phone conversations.
Let me put it this way. I spent more time than Stephanie, but my time was not as productive as Stephanie. So.
No, I mean, you know, she put a lot of time in producing this, so that's why.
I'm not disparaging that at all. Okay, so.
Yeah, okay.
I just wanted to point out the bottom line here again. The total revenue with fiscal year 24 is $1,250,000, and the net income, and it's not a loss, it's the net income, is $90,730 without central services. Add central services, then we have $170,982 negative. But, of course, we're hoping to get a substantial bequest. We know we can't budget for that, but we know it's there, and we're anticipating increasing our revenue also to start paying more of our central services. And I noted that 13 instead of 23, Stephanie, that you caught it. And so I guess now I don't have any other comments. Let's open it up to questions. Are there any questions?
Our poll for staff.
Okay, let me just take a stack. Our Paul, anyone else?
The stack.
Okay. Got our Paul, Teresa, anybody else?
Kim.
Teresa. Kim. Okay,
McFadden.
Go ahead, our Paul. Okay, McFadden, gotcha.
Lyndon.
Christina.
Okay, I guess I'll put myself on the stack after all of that as well. Go ahead, Art Paul.
Wait a minute. Did you confirm Lyndon and Christina?
I did.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm glad to see that we've got something and the executive director is agreeing with it and all. And it is an interesting one. I have one particular question here on storage. You have for storage zero now, but we had storage before. Does this mean what's happening to whatever was in storage? It was 3163. Is this gonna? Does this mean we're letting whatever was in storage go away, or is it moved to someplace else, or what?
Paul, thanks for asking that question. Basically, I kind of was tired of second tired of paying for storage, so me and the volunteer, we drove to the storage, we paid them off whatever balance we owe them, and we packed the piece of art. We took them to WBAI, stacked a whole lot of them in the program director's office, some of them in my office, and then we have another place where storage where we put supplies, envelopes. We put some in there. So, and actually, I hung up one painting at the stairs leading to WBAI entrance. So that's what we did with the storage.
So it's that art exhibit that we had years ago, and that's what all this was?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Teresa.
First of all, I've gone through all the phone numbers that I've ever received, and I need my Zoom number. I've looked at all the emails that I've ever received, and I seem to be I know that I called in as a guest sometime, but I would like my code. I guess this will probably be on the last call that I'm on, but I would really like to call in by Zoom. So if somebody could send me my specific code to get in, I'd appreciate it. Because
hey, Teresa, before you go on, Teresa,
mm-hmm.
Before you go on, I just want to tell you, this is a conference call. We don't do Zoom in the NFC.
Well,
there
no
are
wonder.
Some who wish we
Man,
would.
What was I thinking? Okay, fine. All right, the second thing is I see that you're paying $24,000 for people that do on-air pitches. And right now, we're pitching with not paying anything, not paying anyone. Our engineers pitching, our volunteers are pitching, our general manager and our I guess you could say we do have 1.5 people that are paid because we do have a contractor who's our development director, and she does pitch. But they're training other people to pitch. Isn't there any way that you could pitch without paying people $24,000?
That's a good question. One person, one of the pitchers, I have here that raised $230,308.86. The cost of the premium was $44,000. The total revenue was $228,000, and the net after we pay her also, we made $184,000 on that person. Some people, you know, some people raise $1,200 for the hour or $900 for an hour pitch. Whereas we have some shows, I don't want to point out specifically, that are very enthusiastic. I've been around for a while, you know, it's a very important subject. And then they've been, we've allowed them to pitch because they come up with premiums and they're pitching. And they are raising barely $200, $150, one pledge or two pledges during that hour. And then they know how to pitch. So until we can figure it out, the solution to that is I have instructed my, I'm a general manager, and I'd be, you know, you're lucky to have a general manager who is a producer. That's not my thing. I never wanted to be in that. That's not my thing. But a program director, I've instructed her to eventually go and pitch in the morning because we build the morning strip, 7 a.m. And then we have Any Good Man at 8, and then at 9 a.m. we also have another strip. The 7 a.m. was actually competing with Any Good Man's listenership. So we want pitching in those hours. These are like, a lot of them are new producers. They pitch, but, you know, they do not really make money. And I want the program director, you know, to be in the morning, you know, different weeks and different days in those shows and pitching. Because we know Katia sit at PFW and Jerry, they do tell us that they raise a whole lot of money in the morning. Until we can really make that difference, we unfortunately, it's like, you know, we're kind of hooked into doing that. Otherwise, we would really be under. So thank you for the question. It's a frustrating thing.
I wanted to make one other quick comment or question. I mean, another way.
Hold on, Teresa. First of all, were you finished answering, Teresa?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, Teresa.
Okay, so you're spending. You've gone from $48,000 in premiums to $28,000 in premiums, and I'm just wondering if you can possibly go from premiums that are costing you to something that is more symbolic, rather than if a person, you know, gives $100 but expects something that's $10 or $20 and involves postage. If you can go to like a Christmas ornament, which we have done on Giving Tuesday, for example, that costs like $1, $1.50, and I'm trying to think of something that you can do to kind of get your listeners to expect something that is symbolic of their gift, rather than something that is actually putting an additional burden on you. To the tune of $28,000, and one other comment. So you haven't paid for, was it? You're behind in the call center. So is there a cost? Have you put the cost in this budget for that call center? I know you need to pay them, but so I'm assuming you're not using any call center now.
We're still using the call center. I'm talking to Arthur and Stephanie, and especially Arthur, to try to he's talking to them and negotiating with them. This is definitely an issue. Hopefully, we would like, what we want is we want the call to come to WBAI first, and to have a call volunteer answering it. And if there's no one there to answer, or if we don't answer it in time, then it bounces to the call center as opposed to going directly to the call center. Initially, we had the call going straight to the call center because having it go to BAI and then bounce to the call center adds additional costs to the phone lines and then to the calls. But I think it would be cheaper to add the additional cost to the phone line, but answer like at least 50 to 80% of the calls at WBAI. We have figured out with our webmaster that we can have tablets that we can program that will give the volunteer access to just type in all the credit card information so that they don't have to write them. So that's the one thing that we definitely, I'm frustrated about that I want to deal with. And then the other thing about your premium, a while back, about 7 years ago, we realized that we were going to add the cost of processing the premium to the premium. So when we offer a premium for $100, if it's a DVD, then it adds another $5 or $7 for processing and mailing. And initially we were told that our listeners were going to reject that, but, you know, like they have grown to understand that, and then they are happy to pay an extra $7 for the cost of mailing and processing. We did try. Let me try to go very quickly so that everybody, there's a lot of people on stack. We also, for example, we had something on Palestine, and then we ordered a scarf and then a calendar of Palestine that we offered with that premium. But this is like extra cost, and then they're not that cheap. You know, the calendars, I forget the cost of it. It's like $12 each or something like that, or maybe less. but, you know, they're not cheap, you know, because a calendar, how much can you offer a calendar for $50 and then, you know, and then you pay $5 to $12 for it. So the net money you bring in when you do that, you know, I mean, even the cost of a premium, for example, a Kristen Blasio premium, you know, we sometimes offer them for $170. The premium costs us like $20, $22, you know, so the net on each one of those transactions is like almost $148 that we bring in. So all of these things are in play and very difficult to calculate overall. You know, it's like you have to add and subtract and figure out, is it worth it? Is it not worth it? You know, but the number one thing is really to pitch. We have everybody pitching the BI buddies, the sustainers, you know, send money to support the show without having a premium, you know, it's not totally working yet. We have board members like Jim Digman calling listeners who have lapsed to ask them to rejoin as buddies, and we want to have as many people doing that. We have a list of like 500 pages of people who have lapsed for the past 10, 15 years, so we want to call them.
Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. Teresa, I should have stopped you at one question and one follow-up, but I didn't. But let's try to keep it to one question, one follow-up, and then we'll get around. Well, then we'll come around again for people who have more questions. Kim, you go ahead.
Is that me? Okay. I'm going to go through all of my issues, and we can come back and discuss any of them. For revenue, for the, and first of all, I want to thank, you know, Stephanie and Bertold for putting this into a proper format that that we can deal with. The revenue for 23 without the bequest is $1,081,000. So the proposed revenue of 1.2 is a $170,000 increase. So there's that.
Why don't you ask two of your concerns, then we'll let him answer them now.
I'll be terrible. Let me just talk. Let me just say what I have to say. Please, just if you don't interrupt, we'll go a lot quicker.
I hope so.
Okay, line 45, we have music licensing fees. I believe that $6,000 is low, and also we need to put NFCB in there for $3,875. Under development expenses, we need to add credit card fees, which based on KPFK's revenue and revenue here is somewhat similar, so I would put in $20,000 for that.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry, what was that, Kim, that last one you said, the $20,000?
Credit card fees.
What line are you on, Kim?
Well, I'm not on any line because it isn't in there. In my notes, I put it on line 46 for development expenses, add credit card fees for $20,000. These are my notes that I wrote down here for myself. I think based on what we just heard, that line 51 is too low. Based on what you said, $44,000 in premiums just for the consultants, $28,000 for the year is too low. I think that community events should have its own line item. we need to be able to compare what's brought in with actual expenses just for community events. Some stations over the years have run into problems, and that should be a separate line item, not with other stuff that could become a slush fund for a lot of stuff. These numbers for the on-air pitching don't add up for me. I think you said the cost of a premium is $22 and you're getting a $150 pledge. That's not a 1 to 10 ratio. That is sort of what is the standard. And when you add up consultants and premiums, that's $92,000. And to make $230 off that is, you know, it's not particularly mission friendly. I mean, and I speak from experience at my station that it does not increase listener support for the programs. That's my view. And just one more thing I want to add. You have a bunch of payables, you know, from the tower rent to the office rent to, you know, the phone, and none of those are going to appear on this budget. But that stuff, I forget what the total is, but it's probably close to or over $100,000. So we need to take that into consideration. So those are my thoughts.
Okay. So thank you very much.
Yeah, Berto, a lot of time. Respond to them one by one. Were you able to get a list?
Yeah, I'll try to go very fast. I'll start with the last one, the payables. We expect, you know, I know that's not supposed to be part of the budget, but we expect a $200,000 to $300,000 bequest. It's already been, you know, targeted to us. So we're just waiting for the discussions and arrangement that Arthur is making, whether or not we're going to get a $300,000 or $200,000. So that would go towards paying our payables, and then the rest would go towards central service.
Right. So it won't go.
Kim, we're not going to do this. We're not going to go back and forth. You've got to ask your questions in seriatim. We let you do that without him answering one by one. Now he's going to answer you, and then we're going to move on to the next person. We're not going to have back and forth. It's going to take too long.
All right.
So go ahead.
So it's not going to go in the budget, yeah. And then so that's why also the obviously the bequest is not going to go in the budget, nor the $18,000 or $15,000 on savings in overtime is going to go there. Hopefully, Kim, the bequest would cover four Times Square and the call center, and then hopefully, you know, I don't know, Stephanie and others working on this, they can get us to port the number back to BAI, and that number would go down significantly. So that's that. I think that's probably part of what of your concerns were. As far as the credit card fees, basically, that's included all in, unfortunately, in the listener support. Because as you know, Kim, when you call the call center or when you call and when someone might be calling and pledges, you know, the pledge, you know, like the gross pledge, we charge a gross pledge plus $7 processing fee. The gross pledge goes into a hub that processes credit cards. And then they just spill out the net, and that's what we have as revenue. So, you know, that's already included in that $820,000 is sponsored because, you know, we do not really have a way of calculating those fees. The fees for interest expense were just the fees that Chase and PayPal charge us. And then you're right, so those credit card fees are not included in there. They were part of that listener-sponsored net coming up at $820 on top.
So I don't understand. On what line are you talking that the credit card fees, which is an expense, are on? You're saying the credit card expense is on what line of revenue?
The credit card expense is included in the listener support because we cannot really calculate it. So the listener support, the money that comes in net. It doesn't come in as a gross, like as a pledge. It comes in as a net into the bank account. So that's 820. That's what that is. That's including that money out coming out of there. I don't know if Markisha maybe can help us, you know, probably get a report from these, well, I call them clearing house, really. That's what they are for the credit card, so that we can add the gross and then put the fee separately and then show the net listener support coming in. That's what it is. It's never been included because we've never been able to calculate it. As far as the NFCB, I'll have to check up with John Almele on that. I know you might have a point for the $3,875. And then that was it, right? There was the $20,000, the $3,875 NFCB, and the payables. And you also wanted to have community events. I have that broken down. You know, like we can break it down going forward. If it's the will of the body, I have the revenues and the expenses. As a matter of fact, I have a P&L that I do for every event. You know, I have the whole revenue sheet. I have all the expenses and then the net. I have them from 10 years ago. So, you know, if you want that in the budget and in the in the fiscal year financials, since those expenses are going to Bank of America, I'm sure Markisha, you know, can work with me and then we can produce these. Markisha can produce this with my working and collaborating.
Okay, Bertel, are you done with that, with your answers to Tim's questions?
I think so, yes.
Okay, let's go to McSadden.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
First, just want to say I'm glad to see there's a drop in expenses. But normally I'd be rather concerned with a net $170,000 loss. However, I remember Arthur recently saying that bequests are in process and they're not included in this budget. And some of them sounded rather hefty. So I thought that was something that could mean this might result, as long as they get out of the courts and the dollars get deposited, that you're going to actually have a positive budget here. And so, Mike, I have a kind of a question for both you and Stephanie. If those extra revenues from the process that are still in court, you know, but bequests that are on the way, don't materialize soon, and I assume you're tracking revenue monthly, so you'll be able to know where the if things are matching up. Are you set up and willing to work with Stephanie to make cuts? And if you had to do that, where would those cuts come? Would they come from the consultants or what? I suspect both you and Stephanie can answer.
And Bertel, yeah, and Stephanie, just an admonition. Let's not mention any names.
Yeah.
If you're talking personally.
We can go maybe in executive session to discuss that, but I think it would come out of programming. I don't want to go any further than that, and then one consultant. You know, it might come up to close to, if needs be, might come up to close to $60,000 to $90,000, but that also will cost us a chunk of BI buddy and money. I mean, we're not breaking even between those expenses and the BI buddy and the premium pitching that is being done, but then we might have to lose those because people become buddies for specific shows. So,
Stephanie, is this, how big a concern is this negative? Are you you know, relatively comfortable because it's because of these coming bequests?
Stephanie is on mute.
Stephanie, are you with us?
She's on mute.
She may have a phone call or something.
Well, why don't we move on and maybe come back when she gets back on the call. I'd just like to know if...
I'm sorry, I thought I was on mute. Oh, I'm sorry, I hit speaker instead of mute. What I was saying is that I'm concerned anytime that there's a budget that's in a negative, but, you know, all that shows is that as a committee, we need to be committed to taking a look at the budgets on a regular basis and really anticipating and projecting out, you know, the revenue and the expenses and making adjustments prior to anything happening. But we have discussed, you know, any sort of cuts would be coming from the consultants line, trying to really work to get the premiums that are relative and related to Pacifica and WBAI specific. And I know that that's a painful thing to do for WBAI, but KPFK kind of did it cold turkey, and people do like getting t-shirts and tote bags and things like that. So it would be a shift, but that's the first obvious place that we would look at. Any sort of bequest that's coming in, I do want to make sure that we pay off a lot of the past due payables and get caught up on a lot of those. We've also talked about the possibility of cutting back on potential office space that isn't being used on a regular basis, which would be, and then allowing the property owner to be able to rent out some of those, you know, possible office space. So that's, you know, that might be small, but at least that's something there. So we are looking at what those cuts would be.
Yeah, can I add to that a little bit, Stephanie?
Go ahead.
Of course.
Yeah, especially for the office space. I mean, Linda and I, we just do everything on our laptop, you know, 24/7. We're always on, which is kind of a problem also. When I go to the office, like twice a week, I spend maybe 10 minutes in my office, and the whole rest of the day I spend in the premium area, packing premium, shipping premium, printing premium labels. So I do not really, really, really need my office space. I mean, so when I go there also, for example, the computer that we have there, you know, we haven't bought any new computer in a while, is so damn slow that it will take like 30 minutes to just reboot. So I go there with my laptop to work at the station, which means that I could not go there and work with my laptop from anywhere. So we should definitely ask for a reduction in the space, you know, probably a third, you know.
Okay. McFadden, you were done, so we'll go to Lyndon.
Hello, Bertholdt. Just what you're talking about right there about, you know, maybe we should go to a third of what our office space is. That should have been thought about before. It should have been thought about the year before that, in my opinion. And you just look at these, the numbers historically, these things should have been done a long time ago. Now, Bertholdt, you mentioned just a few minutes ago that you have records going back 10 years. So how long have you been at GM or IGM at WBAI?
14.
14.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't been around for 14 years on the in the governance, but I have been around, I think, start sometime in early 2019. And so I do have some records, and I spent some time, not many hours as you and Stephanie and James spent, but I spent some time going through the numbers. And I see that, on salaries, the numbers are, you know, like 600,000 and they just, you know, are that, you know, over and over, you know, 616, 597, 615, 628, you know, a 7-year average is 623,000 in salaries. Yet you still have to hire somebody for $30,300 to be your webmaster. I mean, your webmaster makes about what our engineer makes. And then you continue to lose money. And you're renting a copy machine and a printer. You know, we were in that situation at KPFT. We were paying $500 a month for a printer. And our Pacifica's credit was so bad that we could not buy a printer. They wouldn't sell us one, but they sure would lease it to us for $500 a month. But we finally just got rid of the thing and, you know, scrape up the money or you know, I can imagine how many printers or how many, you know, office printers there are in New York City. You could probably get one, you know, donated or something. I think those are the things that you should be looking at. But you definitely should be, I mean, what are the, you are figuring out some of these issues, figuring out how to pitch. It's late to be figuring this out. Your level of salaries and consultants is like $742,000, you know, when you add the consultants in. For an organization that's been losing money year after year. So when do you see this organization making money? That's my question. When are you going to make money?
We're going to make money when we get PSAs and underwriting, which has only been allowed last year. So we already jumped on it. We made $70,000. I wanted to double that amount this year and triple it and quadruple it. But this is a new industry for us because the board was so whatever that they did not allow underwriting, PSAs, or that kind of stuff. So to talk about you know, the salary thing, we have four board apps that operates from 5 a.m. to midnight from Monday to Sunday. And when you have four board apps, we actually were able to reduce expenses by having a consultant do a 10-hour shift on Saturdays. And we negotiated with the union a while back that they would accept that situation. Because you know, because of our situation, so figuring out how to pitch. Well, you know, when we had Hurricane Sandy, we had to lay off, I don't know, 39 people. So most of them were producers, and then we have been we have been on survival mode since then. We have all volunteer producers. We have new producers we bring in. I haven't had a program director often. Now we finally have a permanent program director who is focusing on cleaning up the sounds and stuff like that. And editing, she's the main editor. She probably does the work of 2-3 full-time editors. And me and myself, I do the general managers. I find premiums. I ship premiums. I negotiate premiums. I'm the interim operation director, managing vacation times and all of that stuff, premium business manager. So we have cut expenses as much as we can. New York is an expensive town, and then our four board apps are union shop. We managed not to give them a raise for over 10 years. And finally, when Arthur came, I negotiated a contract that I personally practically wrote, and Arthur edited and cleaned it up and presented it to Stephanie, I believe, and then that's where we're able to finally have a contract with the union for the four board apps. So I think I've done a pretty damn good job managing the expenses. When we have consultants, most of the time is because we're trying to save costs by not having by paying them straight up, and then by not having to pay health benefits, and then they do fit the definition of consultant the way we utilize them, because they don't come to the station, they can operate. I just do not understand as far as your webmaster stuff. I have no idea what you're talking about. Our webmaster is only paid $2,500 a month. He manages the entire WBI website. Every time the site goes down, he's responsible to bring it up at 2 o'clock anytime in the morning, cleans it up. He registers the premiums whenever he connects. He works with the general, the program director and I to coordinate having the premiums go into Allegiance and have that coordinate with the live schedule that we have. This guy is actually underpaid. My understanding is the whole website and internet system at other stations, you know, we're spending like $200,000 to $300,000 on website and web employees, if I can understand that. And we are spending $2,500 a month or $30,000 on a webmaster. Well, I thought it was a bargain. He does data entry. He produces the tax letters. He produces the membership list for elections. Cleans it up. You know, discuss it with me. You know, we're working right now on the tax letters. You know, make sure that we assign the proper value of the premiums and the amount that we paid for them. So I think we have done a pretty good job at that. Yes, and then the number one question that you ask, which is the most important, is when are we going to break even? And then that's when we're not going to break even now pitching premiums. That's not working. That ship has sailed. We're going to break even on the whole network, I believe, by doing underwriting PSAs and things of that sort by focusing on that tremendously. And that's what we are focusing on. So our revenue through listener pitching has gone down, and then the revenue has increased a bit through PSAs and stuff like that. And that's our focus right now. We weren't allowed to do it before. Thank you. James?
Lyndon, you only actually asked one question. It was a long one, but I'll give you a follow-up if you want.
No, I'll come back if there's time.
Okay, good. Thank you. Okay, that brings us to Christina.
Hi there. I'd also like to thank you all for working so hard on putting this in a better, more easily understood format for us. I know it took a lot of hours of work, so appreciate Stephanie and Bertholdt and James' work on this. Just one statement and a couple of questions. First, I really haven't had time to really go over the numbers today. I'm working on two other projects that are not Pacifica-oriented, so I've been out all day. So I'll have to, I thought I saw some difficulties with the numbers matching up, so I'll just send that in after because I didn't have time to scrutinize it ahead of time. I would say that one question is I would like to know how many consultants are currently working at WBAI, and then I have another question about underwriting, so I'll take the first answer first.
Okay, good question. Consultant working at WBAI. We have two people who are on call as board apps when our board apps or regular board apps call in sick. We try to do pre-recording and pre-record for the day, but when our board app calls sick or on vacation during the holidays or Christmas, we have two people who are on call, whichever one is available, to cover that, and then to also cover on Saturday from 4 to midnight, because that would have been a union paid a shift, 10-hour shift, and that would, of course, like probably four times more. So that's that. And so we have two pitching consultants, you know, that do pitching. You know, basically they charge us, they produce a premium. The premium, we play it for 2-3 months, and then we generate a good, like I don't know, 15,000-20,000, and then, you know, we usually pay them about 1,500 to 2,000 for that pitch. So that, these are the two other consultants. The other person we have as a consultant is an executive producer who does the booking for the Leonard Lopez show, which has the second highest BI buddy at the station. And, you know, it's a regular, that's a strip show from Monday to Friday. Besides that, we have somebody who does the Constant Contact, the mailing, the newsletter. We have a weekly dispatch. Any pamphlet, the PSA pamphlet that we use to generate the $70,000, you know, laminated and all that stuff. All of that is, flyers for all of the events. You know, we create them and then we print them on laminated paper with at the printer that we use at the station. By the way, the person who was asking the question before, that printer is service for free. And then they give us ink for free when we ran out of ink. So I think that was a pretty good deal. We actually just had a problem with it, and then they basically came in and replaced it, and then it started a new contract. We have a brand new one. So sorry to digress. The second question was?
Well, first I was a little bit meandering there. I want to be clear on how many contractors are working for you. I got two people on call, two people pitching, one executive producer, one person constant contact. So are you saying there's only six contractors working for you? I just wanted a number. I don't need a description of every single thing they do.
Okay, yes. And I also have one webmaster. So, yeah, one constant contact, one full-time webmaster, one executive producer, that's three, and then two pitchers, you know, they on, you know, like when we need them, we call them, we say we need a pitch for this month. So they're not exactly consultants. It's not like we ask them every month. You know, one of them I was planning on.
Just
give him the number, Bertolt.
Okay, yeah. So the two pitchers would be equivalent to one FTE consultant. And then the two
people.
I just
want to know the number of people, please. Could you just give me the number of consultants total?
Okay, please. The equivalent to five. The equivalent is to five. The number of actual people is seven. But the
seven. Thank
full
you.
Time
I understand you don't use them all the time. I understand that. So they're not full time. I get that. I just wanted to know the number. So seven consultants at this time total, right?
Yes.
Thank you. The second question is about the underwriting plan, and my understanding from people I've talked to in the business world, and we have people in my own union that I'm a lifetime member of my national union, and from my understanding from the people I've talked about, that underwriting is not something that you can necessarily count on bringing in a lot of money. That's why people like on NPR, where they have some of our CWA members in San Francisco, for instance, they actually hire a company to help them get underwriting, and underwriting is premised on the amount of listeners that you have and the amount of money they predict that you're going to be able to bring in based on that amount of listeners. So I wonder what kind of research you've done to find out exactly what kind of money underwriting is actually going to bring in, looking at those factors. Have you done research on that?
Yes. Well, first of all, we did a ton of research on the New York City. We've been doing that for years. We just have not been able to execute it because we were not allowed to. So once the national board said that was okay, so we just kind of put all of this thing into effect. Another thing that I did, I put a call out to every single person at WBI to listen to all radio stations and to hear the PSAs they're doing, the underwriting they're doing, and what are the companies, and then we can figure out which companies that would be amicable to us and that we would accept, that we could digest. We've gotten, you know, $69,000 and change last year from the New York City Department of Health and Department of Transportation. The Department of Health, you know, I mean, you guys talk to people and you figure out, you know, so they were kind of, how many people do you have listening and stuff like that. And then so we our angle was that we have the most radical group of listeners who are anti-vaccine. We have producers who are talking about all these things, alternative medicine. And if there is a market you need to reach, it is our market. If you feel that, you know, if there's a market you want to put a dent on, our market is the market you need to do PSAs on. So then they said, okay, that makes sense. So Department of Health gave us some PSAs on COVID, on overdose, and then different type of stuff, you know. And so we want to double and triple on that. Department of Sanitation, they have a bunch of recycle projects that they have, and we really, really, really want to tap into them. We have interviewed over 80% of the city council members and state senators that have these things as their pet projects, and we have them on the air all the time talking about their projects. So these are we have these connections. There was another thing that I forgot about. Yeah, Department of Transportation, they do a lot of PSAs and ads on be careful crossing the street so that you don't get hit. So we had those, you know, a lot of bicycle now, you know, drive slow and that kind of stuff. Now we realize that the New York City Department of Transportation and Health is very different from the New York State Department of Transportation and Health. So we can get the same ads from both of them, and then we are trying to look into some connections. I'd ask Arthur to give me some connections with the state. You know, we are more connected to the city. So these are the things that we are looking into a lot more, New York City and New York State, the different agencies. We are lucky in New York that these agencies are pretty active, and then they hire third-party marketing groups to do their marketing, and then we realized that that's what we had to look into, the third-party marketing company that does their marketing as opposed to trying to reach out to some person at the city.
Okay.
I can send you all the information that we do have. I don't know how that can help on the West Coast, because from what Stephanie said and from some of her research, she said that's a little different on the West Coast, the way the city agencies function than in New York.
Well, each
and then
I would just say that KPFA, our folks don't want underwriting, and they believe that that's part of our main pitch, that we can say that we don't have any kind of funding from any source, so there's no influence. So, but that may be different than New York. I don't know. I don't know that what you just told me adds up to really investigating what numbers you can come up with, but I think that the bang for the buck is questionable. So that's just my own perspective. Thank you for answering, Bertold.
Yeah. Well, we have, for example, you know, like labor producers that are getting, you know, a lot of support from the union, for example, and then we have that going on right now. And then, you know, that's it.
Thank you.
We created the underwriting for the city. One of the services we gave them as extra, since we don't have that many listenership as the other stations, we produce the PSAs for them, and then we make them very interesting and very, very, very different. And then they actually kind of, you know, we send it to them for review and feedback, and then they actually like that. And then that's a free service. And we also give them extra pro bono spots at other times besides our prime times. Of course, we use the Amy Goodman 7 a.m., Amy Goodman 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. spot to play most of them, because that's what, you know, everybody in New York knows about Democracy Now. So that's what we are utilizing right now to push those things.
Okay, thank you.
James? James, you're on mute.
James, are you there?
Sorry, I was chattering away to you all, but not being heard. On mute. Okay, I just wanted to do a little cleanup here and say that, Bertel, what you were saying at the last thing you were saying about the union underwriting our producer who does labor shows and, you know, John, he does general shows, but he also focuses on labor. He's getting some underwriting. And we went from zero underwriting, and then it was allowed by the PNB. We went to $70,000 in 1 year. So we thought that was pretty good, and we think that that has future potential. And that was all virtually with public service announcements from the New York City government. We have the one union that's involved, but we think there's more potential elsewhere. And the underwriting resolution was pretty strict in terms of what kinds of organizations we could take underwriting from. So we hope that will, you know, prevent abuses. So that was one thing. Another thing was about the webmaster. One thing that the webmaster does is he cleans up our membership lists. And as I've been speaking to another member of this committee, we have a legal obligation as the kind of membership organization that we are to keep our membership lists clean and accurate. And one thing our webmaster does is he uses Allegiance, and he's good at it, and he cleans up our member list before it goes to the national office for the elections and for the other purposes that it's needed for. So it takes a lot less cost for the election supervisor to clean up WBAI's membership list than it does for some of the other stations. I asked Stephanie about this specifically. I asked the election supervisor specifically if they were saving time and money on cleaning up the WBI list because they were pre-cleaned before they got to them, and they both said yes. I don't have a hard number for what that is, but it's saving money in that regard anyway. So that was one thing. Another thing is I'm curious about the NFCB providing our music licensing, which the last I understood, that's where we were getting it from. But now I understand we got a bill from the national office that we had never seen for 2 years, and I don't think it's been paid for 2 years, and it's from ASCAP and BMI, and that's the $6,000 we have there for music licensing. So somebody mentioned we have to add the NFCB. So I want to just clarify, do we, and this is not a question for Bertel, I guess, because you're not, I don't know if you're just paying for this and the national office is negotiating this, but who is handling our music licensing? I believe it's the national office. And who are we using now? Is it NFCB or is it ASCAP and BMI?
We are actually working out the bill. We are now, well, John Amila has found a different licensing service for us that is basically, we're still signing some papers and just setting up the account and such, but the yearly licensing fee will be $1,000 per station.
Oh, that's good.
So, yeah, so that will be decreased significantly.
Yeah.
But we're still,
so, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, that's one of those things is that we look at the budget, I'm sure next month, that number will drop.
Oh, good. So not to worry about needing to add in, we're going to be taking out.
Right.
That's good to hear. Very good to hear. another question that I had was about porting. You were saying we have to port the number back. And Bertel, I want to ask you if you could just describe a little bit. When we first got the call center, it's my understanding we ported our fundraising number to them, the number that our listeners know and they can rattle off by heart and dial it without thinking because we've used it for years and years and years. We ported that number to them because they were going to be doing our call center work, and they needed to have that so that people could call in donations. But as we built up our bill with them, we tried to arrange to have a deal with them where we would agree to pay off the amount due over time, and they would port our number back to us so that we could start answering the calls in the office at the studio. Three rings, and if we don't answer it, then it goes to the call center. And they are balking at porting our number back to us until we pay. Is that basically the situation?
Well, I think they are balking at us, and they want some assurances that we will pay them. The way I see it is we can have a legal document to tell them that we are committing that we will pay them. I mean, Stephanie has assured them many times over, you know, they could say, but the idea is that I want to pay you like $5,000 a month to catch up and on what I owe you. But I don't want to continue to accumulate debt. That's why I want you to put the number back to us so that we can answer as many calls to reduce the $5,000-$6,000 a month that it costs, that you're charging us to answer the phone. The rate has gone up, by the way, you know, like it's per minute, whatever. The rate per minute has gone up, so that jacked up the thing a little bit. So the idea is to negotiate and tell them that we are signing on the dotted line that we commit that we will pay you. We'll pay you $5,000 a month or something for the next, I don't know, 20 months or 10 months. But we want the number ported back, because if you keep paying you $5,000 and every month the bill comes in at $5,000, then we're not doing anything. We want to get rid of that bill.
So perhaps that's something we can do when we get the bequest and get that sorted out. I want to go on with my other question, and then I'm going to ask for a new stack. There was something mentioned about reducing space, which is an idea that we brought forward. But I think we need to talk about that privately. There's a problem with when we went to our current location, the national office never signed the lease, and that lease had rent escalators in it. And the landlord has been reclaiming parts of our office space over time in lieu of those escalators that would have been in the contract. So we may be better off letting that sleeping dog lie, or, you know, maybe having a conversation with her and seeing what we can do. But it might not actually result in a net saving, because she might just reclaim the space again in lieu of those escalators that should have been in the lease that was never signed. And that's not this national office, that's a previous national office.
Unless we sublease some of our space to a third party.
There you go. There you go. All right, let me open it up for a new stack. Who else would like to ask a question? Let me know that we're at 10 o'clock. Thank you, Arpal. I got you. We're at 10 o'clock, and we were supposed to do an hour on this. We got started a little late, but I think we must be near our time on this item. So I'm going to move to extend this item for 10 more minutes, and then we'll see where we are. Is there any objection to extending for 10 on this item from now? Hearing none, we'll do that. And now I have Arpal, and who else would like to ask another question?
Kim.
Lyndon.
Kim, gotcha. Lyndon. Anyone else? All right, put myself on the stack as well. Go ahead, Arpal.
Okay. I think we've gone over this, you know, over the past number of weeks quite a lot. So I think we need to focus. So I am going to make a motion, and the motion is the NFC reviewed the WBAI FY24 budget. It is a deficit budget. We send this budget to the PNB for their review.
Okay. And that language sounds familiar. Is that what we did with the KPFK budget?
We've done this with so many other stations so far.
Stations and other units, right. Okay, well, now there's a motion on the floor, so I guess the questions are going to be off for now. Is there any discussion?
Yeah, Kim.
Okay, got you, Kim. Anyone else? I'll put myself on. Go ahead, Lyndon. Kim. Okay, Lyndon. Anyone else? Go ahead, Kim.
I'm okay with our Paul's motion. It's basically the same as Kay's. But I'm debating whether I want to add a caveat. I believe that the revenue is very puffy, very overestimated. For one thing, there's $100,000 less in listener support. Who's typing or doing something? Can everybody be on mute? Thank you. There's $100,000 less in listener support from last year. So by my calculations, you're asking for a $170,000 increase this year, which I believe is kind of unwarranted. And if I look at $1,800 per day, which is what the GM has said you're all, you know, he's doing, times 365, that equals $657,000 a year. So $820K is, you know, kind of puffy, kind of little, you know, fairy dust. So I would, I believe that, you know, the revenue is overestimated, and I don't want to make changes. I just want to let people know that that's my thoughts about that, and I'm not sure the best way to do it. Also, I just want to say that NFCB and ASCAP BLI are two separate functions. So if there's a replacement for NFCB, okay, great. But they're two separate functions. So, you know, that's why there are two of them, no matter what. I forget what the NFCB does other than, and the BMI and ASCAP, they, for every song, those royalties, they collect royalties for the writers, the produce, the owners of the copyright.
Yeah, you are right about that. I don't recall what the exact difference is either right now, but I know you're right. Thank you, Kim. Lyndon, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, I just want to say that I object to cutting this session short. I had more things I wanted to say, but I'll try and work them in to the next session.
Well, I will say we can extend time if you wish. I'm sure people are rolling their eyes right now going, don't do that. But you know.
Well, I believe somebody's called for a vote. Somebody's trying to short-circuit the
situation. Well, we have a motion, but then we have other items on the agenda after we deal with this. All right, well, you know, we can decide to extend when we get to that point. Bertolt, I want to ask you to talk about the listener revenue. I believe it was reduced from last year because some of it was moved into different categories. Can you explain why listener revenue is lower now than it was before?
Yeah, well, actually, also to answer Kim's concern, you know, as I mentioned, the last year, the listener revenue averaged about $1,850 per day. The budget here is reflecting $2,250. We used to have it at $3,275, I believe. So it's got, you know, we reduced it to $2,250. If you compare it to the actual from last year, it's about $400 more per day. If we have to add another 30 minutes of pitching, what we are doing is we are actually doing. We've been experimenting. We've been trying to do like 14 days of full fund drive pitching, you know. But we realize that whether you have 14 days or one day, 4 hours a day. Yeah, whatever system you use, it doesn't work if you don't have a real premium or something that you offer. Our producers, I don't know if they don't know how to pitch well or if it's not consistently going for like 7-10 minutes nonstop. like it used to be in the past, they do pitch. They do pitch hard. They pitch a lot. They keep on repeating, support BAI, support the show, support the idea of the show and everything else we bring to you. And that's not working as well as we would want it to. So we have projected that we will do 2,250 as opposed to 1,850 last year. We realized that 14-day fundraisers are not working. So we started doing one-day special. Like we had an Edward Said special. Like we had an MLK special. You know, so every month we have one or two one-day special. Like not really one-day, seven-hour special. You know, we had some Pacifica Radio Archives, something. I forget what that was. You know,
point of order, Chair.
What's your point of order, Lyndon?
My point of order is I thought somebody called for a vote and not this extended explanation that we've already, you know, heard.
Well, I think
am I incorrect?
Well, we were discussing the motion. And so I guess you might have a valid point if these discussions are not germane to the motion, but I think deciding how to vote on the motion involves, you know, expressing or saying what we think about the budget itself,
does it involve talking about how many hours of pitching and how we used to do and how we're now doing, and
well, that was
4 hours.
That was an answer.
14 hours.
That was an answer to my question about why the listener revenue was going down, and that question. I was looking for a different answer, but that doesn't matter. So I'll just rule that your motion is in order, and we'll ask if there's any other discussion on the motion.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think the characterization of this as cutting the session short is very wrong. The motion is not to cut people off. The motion is to focus. A lot of the time, the committee will, go on and on and on and on forever, and I wanted to make sure we had something to focus this on, and at the end, we will have a motion to deal with. We can still discuss the stuff we were going to discuss. The motion is to pass this. Well, if you don't want to pass it because of X, and the other person wants to pass it because of Y, we can do that.
Understood. So let me just say that it's now 10 minutes after 10 by my clock, and I would think that we could either extend time so we can discuss further, and Lyndon and others can ask questions, or we can not, and we can go to a vote, or we could extend to hear the executive director's report or do some of the other things that were on the agenda.
Back to the stack.
Go ahead, Beth.
Yes, I think we've given this item a generous amount of time, given that it was budgeted for 60 minutes. I think we've done at least that. That's hardly cutting it short. And it's not the first time we've reviewed this budget. So I think that our Paul's motion is in good order. I intend to support it. I think there are other items on this agenda that we do need to get to. They do need attention, and so I would like move the agenda. Thank you.
Understood. All right, is there any further discussion of the motion?
Yeah, this is Kim.
Go ahead, Kim.
Well, based on what the GM said, I would like to make an amendment to the motion that the listener support is
predicated?
Pardon me?
Predicated?
No, it's overestimated. It's overestimated. I mean, you know, last year was $1,800 per day, and this is budgeted $2,250 per day. That's an increase that I don't see. The problem with what I'm hearing, you know, over and over is the revenue is coming from these PSAs and consultants. We do not have listener support for our programming in New York City, the largest media market in the country, in a station in the middle of the commercial dial. This is our problem, number one. And, you know, I don't hear anything that is geared towards improving that. God, there was something else I wanted to say, but it just slipped.
You can come back,
so
Kim.
I would like to move to make an amendment that while I believe the listener support is over. Oh yeah, it was about that, the credit card discount. It makes no sense at all to put it in revenue for listener support. It's an expense. It shows up on the bank accounts. Markeisha does it for KPFK. We've always had a line item for that, and I assume all the other stations do too. So that's like from another planet. But that's, I'm assuming going forward, you know, we're going to have one set of books coming from the national office based on basically this format. So, that's just another expense that I expect to see on this. So, but for one thing, it does not go in listener support. So anyways, my point is, I think the revenue is overestimated and it's not warranted.
Can you hear me? I'm asking you to suspend for a moment because we're about to go to time certain. I'm going to ask the committee to extend for 10 minutes so we can finish this up and then have a vote. If anybody wants to amend that to get to other items on the agenda, they can do that. I'm going to ask if there's any objection to extending for 10 minutes.
To extend the time for this item and for the meeting?
I would just extend. Okay, that's fine by me. I would just extend the time for the item, which would extend the time for me. But I get it. Then if we run out of time, the meeting would be over. Okay, so fair enough. So that's the motion. Is there any objection?
Well, wait. Does this motion mean that the meeting will be over when we finish this or not? Because I don't necessarily...
No. He extended the time for the meeting and for the item.
Okay.
So
okay,
if we finish
fine.
The item, then we have more time. And we
okay,
can extend
great.
Again if we want to do
okay,
other things.
Okay, fine. Got it.
Okay. Thank you.
Alan for
right.
Stack.
Yeah, I've
point of
putting
order.
Myself on the stack.
Point of order. We
yes,
can't
okay.
debate a motion to extend.
Well, we didn't get an objection.
We didn't?
I didn't think so.
I didn't hear that. I have to, however, break in anyway and say I don't actually have wording for Kim's amendment. All I have is listener support is overestimated and some other things. There was no actual wording for an amendment in there, if she wants to actually put an amendment in.
Yeah, listener support is overestimated, but this is otherwise... a best estimate of expenses and revenue.
Hold on a second.
So, point of information?
Before you make your point of information, I was trying to put myself on the stack,
yeah,
and I'm going to do that now. And
how about you do that after the secretary gets the wording down so we don't have a fight about what
while
we said.
You were getting the wording, but you go ahead. Go ahead.
Here we go. Kim Kaufman wants to add, listener support is overestimated, but this is otherwise a best estimate of what?
Revenue and expenses.
Okay. Okay, so it's the amendment is to add, listener support is overestimated, but this is otherwise the best estimate of revenue and expenses. Thank you.
Okay, now I put myself on the stack. I'm going to say something. Then I heard Teresa with, I'm not sure if it was an inquiry, but I'll hear that as soon as I get done with what I'm going to do, and then we'll see if anybody else wants to say anything. But, Bertold, I think part of the conversation about the consultants and having people that we bring in to pitch, and we know that some of them bring in things as premiums, like health remedies, you know, other things of that sort, and that by bringing in the, by having these people in the consultant line where we're paying them a certain amount of money, that is based on the fact that they raise a lot of money. So part of what we're doing here is we have the data for what our revenue was when those people were with us. And then when we left, when we took those people out of the equation, we have the information of what the revenue is now. And we believe by putting those people back in, we, not necessarily forever, but as a temporary measure, we can bring the revenue back up to what's stated in the budget. Is that the case, Bertold?
Yeah, that is definitely the case. Not bringing them back. I underutilized them, to put it lightly, this past year. I was trying to reduce their impact.
Okay, thank you. So that was just by way of addressing, I'm addressing Kim's amendment, which is aimed at, you know, this disparity, and this is the explanation we have for the disparity. So we think the revenue will go back up to what it once was, and then the revenue will not be overestimated, in fact, because in the past we've got actual results that show that that's where the revenue will be, or at least it was. So that was just a comment on a part of discussion of Kim's amendment. Is there anybody else? I said I was going to go to Teresa. Teresa?
And then Kim, please.
Okay. Teresa?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. So I appreciate Kim's statement, but it's not really any sort of action other than just tacking on this statement into our passing on the budget to the National Board. And I guess I'm wondering if we could get a commitment from the executive director to meet with the general manager in, I guess, 3 weeks' time and come up with some additional ideas about reducing expenses, whether these consultants need to take on another job, whether the, for example, whether the board ops need to pitch or the board ops need to call lapsed donors, or if there's someone else that can call lapsed donors, someone that we can trust would not in any way utilize our mailing list for other personal purposes. I'm just trying to think of how we can possibly make better use to reduce expenses, because I think that the general manager mentioned, for example, he mentioned, you know, you have a calendar that costs us $12 and we offer it as a premium for $100. The fact of the matter is that even with the reductions that we've gotten, things cost more than they did 10 years ago. So if we do have an 11-year-old calendar, I mean, an $11 calendar, we're going to have to ask for $150 because our cost of living is, and our wages and things have gone up in 10 years. And I'm wondering if these increases in expectations of what we're expecting from our listeners has gone up. Thank you.
Am I allowed to step in?
Our poll for stack.
Well, I think Berthold was trying to respond to the suggestion that he work with Stephanie on continuing to try to improve the revenue. Do you want to ask
Let him. I'm on stack somewhere.
Well, you are now, but I haven't heard you before. Yeah.
So quickly, of course I'm going to work with Stephanie. That's just an answer. But the second part is, Teresa has an excellent point. I've been saying that for a while now, and there's a lot of pushback, and then we don't know exactly how to measure it. 10 years ago, we were offering premium. Our premiums average about $150. Now, with inflation 10 years later, our premiums are still averaging $150. And that's like the major difference right there. Our premium should be probably $200 or $225 on an average. But, I mean, we also, you know, the debate is, you know, the people who listen to us and support us, you know, they make less money than the rest of the population. So it's always that debate of, like, you know that this culture of poverty that we don't think that we can ask listeners to donate $250 instead of $150 that we used to ask them to donate 10 years ago. So that's an excellent debate.
Yes. I got to cut you off, Berthold, because we're again coming up on the 10 minutes that we extended, and
move
I have
to extend
I
10 minutes.
Off all the
move. Move to extend 10.
Thank you,
move.
Kim. I heard you. Any objection to extending for 10? So as of 10:25, we'll extend to 10:35. And now we had our Paul on the stack?
No, Kim was next.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I heard your explanation for hiring consultants, and I disagree based on my experience at my station. And I think this whole idea of listener support and premiums and costs and all that should be taken up at the GM meetings with the ED and possibly the other, you know, around the stations. They can all share experiences about best practices. We can't do it, you know, right now. But I disagree with your plan that it's going to raise the kind of revenue that is in this. So I'm sticking with my amendment. If it fails, I can still write a letter to the PNB and saying, hey, these are my thoughts about this. And the PNB needs to know that we have a couple of stations that are really in trouble. And it's like been going on for years, and, you know, they can deal with it or not. But let's not keep burying our head in the sand, because it hasn't gotten us, like, too far for the last decade or so. So that's it.
Okay, I'm going to put myself on the stack for one final time just to say that I agree with Kim that this is not a long-term solution. I even said I think it's as a part-time measure or a temporary measure, but we have the proven track record that using these people did raise the revenue in the past, and we think it will in the short term now. So,
but you're not dealing with the expense side of it.
Kim, we're at time now. So
you're not dealing with the expense side of it.
Kim, yeah, we've had our back and forth. I think we need to go to first the vote on the amendment. R. Paul, can you restate the amendment?
Did I not get on the stack?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes, you did. And we extended for another 10 minutes. So what am I doing?
We extended.
So
we'll go to 10:35 Eastern. So, yeah. Let me go in here. All right. I don't think it's a good idea to put an amendment like that onto it. That's kind of a flag saying, hey, there's let's cause trouble on the PNB with this. I don't think that is a good idea to put that kind of statement in with the sending it to the PNB. Now, if the PNB and others would like to talk about, we have premium prices that are so old, maybe somebody could look into the idea of raising Pacifica's basic cost of membership from $25, which is what was set at this point 20 full years ago. And at that point, some stations were charging $50, $35 to $50 per year for membership. And then it got cut down to $25. How nice. And I think we're all seeing some of that. I think people will pay the higher prices. I mean, I don't know what it should go to at this point. I don't know if we should base it on raising 25 up to something or raising 50 up to something, but we need to recognize that people will pay the higher price, and I think that'll make a serious difference. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Okay, is there anybody else? Kim, did you want to come back?
No, I don't care. I mean, you're going to do what you're going to do, and I'm going to do what I'm going to do, so,
Okay.
The problem isn't going to go away by anything we do tonight, but
that's
I would
true.
Recommend dealing with this at the GM meetings.
So, Christina for the stack.
Go ahead, Christina.
Very brief comment. I haven't had a chance to scrutinize the numbers, so I would vote against the amendment because I don't know that this is our best guess. And putting that language in suggests that the numbers we've said the numbers are all accurate, and I don't know that, so I would vote against the amendment. Thank you.
Okay. Is there anybody else? Hearing none. Arpal, can we go to a vote on Kim's amendment?
Okay. The amendment is to add. Okay. Let me read the main motion, and then we'll read what the amendment is. The main motion is: the NFC has reviewed the WBAI FY24 budget. It is a deficit budget. We send the budget to the PNB for their review. The amendment is to add, quote, listener support is overestimated, but this is otherwise a best estimate of revenue and expenses, unquote. And that's what we're voting on right now. Please answer up when you hear your name. Teresa Allen.
Okay, just one point, Paul. We're voting on the amendment now. Which
the amendment only right now, yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Teresa Allen.
Thank you. Allen abstains.
Lyndon Foley.
I'll vote yes.
Kamau Harris.
No.
Julie Hewitt.
Pass.
Christina Huggins.
No.
Kim Kaufman.
Yes.
R. Paul Martin. No. James McFadden.
No.
James Sagerton.
No.
Elizabeth Von Gunten.
No.
Going back, Julie Hewitt.
Abstain.
Okay, the vote is 2-4, 6 against, 2 abstentions.
Now we go to the main motion.
Okay, 1 second. All right, so let me get that going. Okay, now we have the main motion. Do people need the main motion reread?
Not I.
Pipe up if you want it reread. Don't hear anybody. Okay, voting on the main motion, please answer up when you hear your name. Teresa Allen.
Allen says yes.
Lyndon Foley.
No.
Kamau Harris.
Yes.
Julie Hewitt.
Yes.
Christina Huggins.
Abstain.
Kim Kaufman. Kim Kaufman?
No. Pass.
Yes? Was that a yes?
That was a pass. Oh,
that was a pass. All right. R. Paul Martin, yes. James McFadden.
Yes.
James Sagerton.
Yes.
Elizabeth Von Gunten.
Yes.
Going back to Kim Kaufman.
I'm going to say yes.
Okay. All right. 8-4, one against, one abstention.
Thank you all, Paul. Okay. We are now drawing close to our time certain again. I want to... I want to bring up a discussion that's not on the agenda, so I don't know how I do that, but I think we need to, we have a KPFA budget that is ready for us to review. Do we want to have another meeting in a week to review that or no?
Kim goes, Jack.
Point of inquiry.
Kim asked for the stack, so all right, we'll take the inquiry. Go ahead. What is your inquiry?
When are we going to hear the executive director's report, and when are we going to go over the consolidated financials?
Good question. We have to decide in 2 minutes whether we're going to extend to do that or whether we're going to have another. I think we should have another meeting next week. That's why I brought it up, because we have these things to do. We still haven't approved the September final consolidated from the last fiscal year. We have a lot to do, and we've kind of got off track for a couple of weeks. So I'd like to put some extra meetings in here and catch up, try to get as much of the business that we should have done this year done and not pass it on to the next iteration. So that's my thinking.
Kim, point of information.
Yes, what
point
is your
information?
Go ahead, yes.
My query is what iteration of the KPFA budget are we supposed to review, because we passed the budget in September of 2023. Is that the budget we're going to review that Maria sent?
Well, I understand that that was revised. Stephanie, do you have information on that for us?
It was my understanding that there were revisions made based upon a different central services formula. So the central services formula that was put in the original budget didn't match the central service formula that was passed at the National Finance Committee.
And now they've done that.
I would object to reviewing a budget that we did not pass for our local station board, that Maria did not revise and send to our local station board for review.
Okay, well, I think we discussed this about a week ago, when the question was, do we have to send the WBAI budget as we revised it here in the NFC back to the WBAI LSB? And the answer was no. Once it's sent by the LSB to the PNB or to the NFC, then we revise it, and we don't send it back down. We send it back. We send it up to the PNB. So I would rule that that's well, I would just say that I don't think that's our process.
Well, I would object to passing a budget that our own business manager did not put together and pass our board. So it seems manipulative to me.
That's okay. You can object. That's fine. So
well, thank you.
Kim?
Go ahead, Kim.
Well, in 2 days, 4 out of 5 directors will no longer be directors, so I'm not sure how in order it is to have extra meetings instead of letting the new directors be seated.
Okay, I will respond
by saying that next week,
if I could respond, please, Christine, I'm trying to talk. It's always been the way that committee members remain committee members and committees continue to do their work while the processes that take about a month or a month and a half for the new PMB to be seated and for the committee members to get elected. We don't stop the work of the foundation while that happens. But as the new people are come on, the committee evolves, but it keeps functioning until the new PNB elects the new committee members from the PNB. Just as new treasurers came on, we didn't stop doing business. We kept going. So I think the tradition is, the practice, the precedent is that we keep going, until we are properly replaced, is the way it's said.
Well, this is Christina for the staff. Point of information again. I'm not objecting to it based on that specifically. What I'm objecting to is that if you want to redo a budget that was redone by not by our business manager, then it won't be accurate taking into the current changes that have happened at KPFA. Our Kaiser went up 19.2%, way beyond what we had speculated for, so it won't be accurate. Our union contract was just negotiated, and it changed the numbers for that. So if you want to pass a budget for KPFA, if you want it to be redone, it should be redone based on valid information and valid numbers. And I would object to it being redone just by pushing it through fast. I think that's inaccurate. It's doing a disservice to the Pacifica and to KPFA.
I'll put myself on the stack for a second to respond directly to Christina's question. And that is to say, I believe, and Stephanie can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Maria was involved in that revising of the budget, and things happen all the time as the year goes on, and that's why we're going to try and monitor the budgets better in the future to see how things develop and then make adjustments as we go along. So I don't think those events necessarily mean that entire budgets have to be revised. So I don't think that is specifically an issue. And now I'm going to say I heard R. Paul and then Beth. Go ahead, R. Paul.
Okay, very fast. The deal is there was a timeline and a deadline. Deadline's long past, and the budgets always go to the NFC. Once they hit the NFC, they're no longer the property of the LSP. Then it goes to whatever happens to it in the NFC and the PNB. So the thing is, when it comes up for discussion, of course, the KPFA treasurer and director will have input and say, well, you got this number, it should be this other number. So that's how it works. It doesn't go back to a full LSB for anything. It just comes here, and if there are corrections, they get corrected. That's all. Thank you.
I got to stop us again here. It's now 10:40. I think we need to extend, I think we need to get serious this time and think about, are we going to ask for a report from the executive director? Are we going to ask to review the financials to see if really what we need to do with those financials is just approve them so that the rest of the foundation can see them. They can go out to the public. So I'm going to take a leap here and suggest that we extend till 11 o'clock. And I can be amended if anybody wants to object to that. But I would like to hear from the executive director. I would like to see if we can approve the financials so that they can go out. So I'm just going to float this balloon. I'm going to move that we extend until 11 o'clock Eastern time.
I object.
Let me make sure we know what we're doing. You want to extend the time for the item, but you're going to have to item and meeting. Item.
Yes.
End meeting. But the deal is the current item, let me get to it, is... Where is that current item? The current item is still WBAI budget, I think. You haven't formally said we've moved into review end of year consolidated monthly stuff. That would be the next item. So you got to
have it. Because I brought up another item, which was a discussion of should we have another meeting, which is not on the agenda. But I would like to get unanimous consent to discuss that because we have a lot of other stuff to do.
Okay, see if you get unanimous consent.
Okay, I'm going to ask for unanimous consent to have a discussion about setting a next meeting date. But no, actually, hold on. First we have to vote on extending time.
Okay.
Let's take first things first. So I made a motion to extend time to 11 o'clock Eastern, and I heard an objection, so I think we need to go to a vote.
Okay. Asking, is there objection to extending to 11 Eastern?
I did.
I object because I have to.
Okay, somebody objects.
Yeah, she objected. That's right. So let's go to a vote.
Okay, so it's extend Okay, the motion is to extend the time for this meeting to 11 o'clock Eastern. Please answer up when you hear your name. Teresa Allen? Teresa Allen?
Allen says pass.
Pass. Lyndon Foley?
Yes.
Kamau Harris?
Yes.
Julie Hewitt?
Aye, yes.
Christina Huggins?
I'll abstain because I don't want it to be just over me, but I will have to leave.
Kim Kaufman?
Yes.
Harpal Martin, yes. James McFadden?
Yes.
James Sagerton?
Yes.
Elizabeth Von Gunten?
Yes.
Going back, Teresa Allen?
Allen says yes.
Okay, that's 9-4-0 against 1 abstention. So we're going to 11.
Thank you. Okay, now I want to bring a motion to add an item to the agenda at this time, which is a discussion of setting a next meeting date. And I'm going to ask for unanimous consent. Is there
I
any objection?
No. I vote
okay,
no, yeah.
So we have an objection. So I guess we should have a discussion. Any discussion?
Yes,
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
You're amending the agenda.
Yes.
I'm not sure you can have a... I'm pretty sure you can't have a real debate on the amending the agenda. Well, maybe you can. You know what? I'll look it up right now.
You need 2/3 vote to amend the agenda.
That's correct.
Yeah, I know that.
Yep. James, while he's doing that, may I ask my question?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Does this mean that we are going to go on to the executive director's report?
Well, no, we've already extended to 11. I'm hoping we'll be able to do that. But
well, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. Because if we're not going to do that, I may vote against it.
Oh yeah, I plan to do that, but we may, you know, we may not finish it, and we also have the consolidated.
All right, thank you.
So that's why we need another meeting. It's one reason why we need another meeting. We've also got another budget to look at. Anybody else? So we can't do a vote until our Paul comes back. So,
well, Christina, with a quick question. I'm not sure why it's so urgent. I'm sorry. I should have waited for you to say, go ahead.
No worries.
I'm not sure why it's so urgent to jump right on the KPFA budget when I don't think WBAI's projected budget was passed until the end of the 2023. If it was passed. So there's been a history of exceeding the time limit for budget, and this would be redoing budget. So I don't see what the urgency is to have immediate next week.
Beth was on staff to address this issue.
Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Yes, we're a quarter of the way into fiscal year 24. Reviewing any tardy budget can hardly be considered hasty. All budgets, once they're passed, should be reviewed quarterly and revised if necessary. But
sorry, I thought I was on mute. Sorry.
Go ahead, Beth. Okay, go ahead, Beth.
I said my piece.
Okay. Paul, are you back with us?
Yeah, I'm leafing through this thing, and pardon me, but my eyes aren't working well. So hold on one second. Sorry, this is taking a little time.
If I might say, I'm pretty sure our Paul's right. I don't think there's debate on amending the agenda. I think it's just a yes or no vote. And
I think we're
going
to finish the debate anyway, so we could just go to the vote.
It's
2/3.
Yeah,
right.
Well, I'm pretty sure.
All right. Okay, so the motion, something on my screen. The motion is to add an item for setting the next meeting date, and I think you want to add it. You want to add it before review of end of consolidated, et cetera, right?
Right.
Before. Put it in. Okay. Do you have a time for this? How long do you want to give it?
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Okay. All right. So the motion is to add an item for setting the next meeting date before review of end of year consolidated monthly statements for the 12 months, etc. Okay. Ask if there's objection.
I did that. I think there was. Is there any objection?
Yes, objection.
Okay. So now we go to vote.
Okay. All right. Okay. We've heard the item, and please answer up when you hear your name. The motion is to add an item to talk about having another meeting. Teresa Allen.
Allen says pass.
Lyndon Foley.
Yes.
Kamau Harris.
Yes.
Julie Hewitt.
Pass.
Christina Huggins.
No.
Tim Kaufman.
Pass.
R. Paul Martin. I'll pass. James McFadden.
Yes.
James Sagerton.
Yes.
Elizabeth Von Gunten.
Yes.
Okay, going back. Teresa Allen.
Allen says yes.
Julie Hewitt.
Abstain.
Kim Kaufman.
Abstain.
R. Paul Martin. I'll abstain. Okay, 6-4, 1 against, 3 abstentions. And that meets the 2/3, so you just got your item in there.
Okay, let's go to that item right now, and let's have a quick discussion. I think we've already had most of the discussion, but does anybody want to add any more about should we have another meeting a week from today, same time, same place?
Just Christina, I have to go in like 2 minutes because I have to pick up a friend at the airport, so... I don't think it's necessary. We're meeting every week, and I don't believe the meetings have been very constructive as possible. It seems like a lot of meandering. So that would be my statement. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that. Anyone else?
Yeah, this is Lyndon.
Okay.
I have a
go
question.
I heard Lyndon person. Go ahead, Lyndon.
Okay.
Yeah, as long as we're going to go over the consolidated before we get to anybody else's budget. If I'm given that assurance, I'll vote for it. If not, I'll vote against it.
That's on the agenda, yes.
Okay, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
So the motion is to what? Meet when what?
It's to meet next Tuesday at 8:30 Eastern at our regular, same time, same channel, as they say.
Okay, the motion is to meet next on January 30th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern.
Yep.
Is that it?
Yep.
See if there's objection.
Is there any objection?
Yes, Kim.
Okay.
Okay, we go to a vote.
Okay. Okay, please answer up when the motion is to meet next Tuesday at the usual time. Teresa Allen.
I think Alan will abstain.
Lyndon Foley.
Yes.
Jamal Harris.
Yes.
Julie Hewitt. Julie Hewitt? No reply. Christina Huggins, I think she left. Kim Kaufman.
I was just about to leave, actually. I would vote no.
Okay. Kim Kaufman.
No.
R. Paul Martin. Pass. James McFadden.
Yes.
James Sagerton.
Yes.
Elizabeth Von Gunten.
Yes.
Back. Julie Hewitt.
Abstain.
R. Paul Martin. Yes. Okay, 6-4, 2 against, 2 abstentions.
Okay, very good. Let's quickly now go to the next item on the agenda, which is the executive director. Well, somebody remind me. Oh, it's the consolidated is the next item on the agenda.
Right.
Lyndon, you wanted to discuss that, and I, you know, we have 6 minutes left to go here. Would you consider a motion to postpone that for the next meeting, so we can hear from the executive director and get her report?
Yes, I would.
Thank you. So I'll ask, is there any objection to that? Hearing none, that'll be the item, first item on the agenda next time. And now, Stephanie, we're at the time for your report. Sorry you had to wait so long.
No problem. I really don't have that much to report. I mean, we're moving forward with the closing escrow with the sale of the Los Angeles building. We're still working on getting those liens removed from that building. We filled out some paperwork today. Arthur sent me some paperwork from the SBA regarding the EIDL loan, and so he has been in contact with them. So I signed and filled out all the necessary paperwork to start removing that lien. We had discussions in the development task force last night about reaching out to local council members to get discretionary funding for the stations, and we had some volunteers from Los Angeles send me the information with some other council members, and we've had some people also in New York send me information regarding council members who have discretionary funding. So I'll get those applications out within the next 30 days, and we'll see how that goes, because most of them are due February. Late February, and I will take questions because I think people had questions more than I had comments.
R. Paul for stat.
Lyndon for the stat.
Mr. Chair, are you on mute?
Yeah, sorry, I muted. Go ahead, R. Paul.
Okay. Fast question. The $25,000 stock option for BAI has been getting held up because there needs to be a Bank of America account set up for it. And last we heard, there were signatures being gotten, and I think it was supposed to have gotten done by last month. What's the status of that right now?
Well, now we're moving into a new board, and so all those signatures, some of the signatures are going to have to be redone.
So we do not have an account, and that $25,000 cannot be received.
Correct.
Which may mean it's going to go away. Okay, thank you.
Lyndon?
Yes. Stephanie, hello.
Hi.
Are we going to, the members of this committee, are we going to be able to see the disbursement of the funds from the sale of the building?
Oh, yes. All of that is completely open, as were the disbursement of the funds from the KPFT building. The money is going to go in a restricted account or an escrow account, so it will get monthly statements on how that money is being spent.
Okay, and I know all this stuff's been going on in executive session, but like when can, you know, I I didn't know that EIDL had a lien on you, but I guess that makes sense, or SBA. So when will we be getting an estimate or what you plan to do with those funds?
Well, a kind of a draft budget on how to use those funds has been presented to the PNB for the last few months, but things are changing as we're trying to figure out, you know, moving costs may be less. We don't have, you know, simple things. We don't have paper shredding costs. You know, there's little things that are changing on a regular basis. So it would be possibly up to the, once that draft is finalized, then it could be shared, I believe. But, you know, again, things change. So I wouldn't want any sort of budget to go out, even when I send something out and have been sharing it with the PNB. It's constantly being told that it is a draft. It is a work in progress because things change. If we find a new bill that was due at KPFK or a new lien that we need to pay off or something that needs to be removed. So that would probably have to be the you know, the PNB to determine when that can be shared, and then to make sure that people on the NFC realize that it is a work in progress and it is subject to change at any given moment.
Kim, to the staff.
Go ahead, Kim.
Well, I would also expect that until actual escrow closes and everything's signed, somebody want to mute? Who's kind of moving stuff around? Thanks. Until stuff is actually finalized. Hello? Somebody mute? Who's making noise? Until everything's finalized and in the bank, you know, exactly the final amount is also probably not going to be known until that moment in time, I would suspect. Is that a good assumption, Stephanie?
Very much so, yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I would assume that somewhere in mid-February, after it closes, you know, the MFC can have a closed session and look at that, but we've all just got to wonder until then.
Any other questions for Stephanie? Thank you, Kim. Are there any other questions?
Yes. This is Lyndon.
Go ahead.
Yeah, usually you used to give reports that, you know, said how much were in payables, and, you know, there used to be quite a bit of detail in reports, and I've been listening, you know, to some of the meetings, and I don't hear that anymore.
I can share that. Really, nothing has changed too much with the payables because we haven't really had an opportunity to pay down a lot of those. But what we have as far as the age payables, but payables as of now, is $1,241,401, which is our payables. The loan amounts that are due are, the loan principal for FJC is $2,548,821. The principal for the SBA EIDL loan is $2,079,430. So if you have the total amount due, if there was a payoff of the FJC loan, which there isn't because we're just going to pay the unpaid interest, but since technically it's in default, it would be a payoff. The total amount that is due with our payables are $4,160,904. But since, again, we are working with the FJC and we are working with EIDL regarding paying back the, you know, paying the past due interest and then putting aside funds for interest for at least 1 year, that, again, the total without our loans of payables is $1,241,401.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Linda. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Stephanie, what's the status of our Allegiance account right now?
The Allegiance account remains the same, is that we are on their do not serve list until we pay them. We owe roughly $92,000. I have been able to negotiate it down to about $58,000, and we're working on hopefully paying that off with the proceeds from the sale of the building. And then once that happens, and I'll be able to get into Allegiance, because right now I do not have access to it, and I'll be able to, I'm hoping to be able to work. We do have an employee who was at KPFK, who at KPFT, who excels in Allegiance and has really gone through a lot of training, and KPFT actually uses it to its fullest. And so when I was in Houston, I did talk with her briefly about assisting me or working with me when we do pay that down. But even if she can do that or is unable to do that, then my goal is to be able to get most of Allegiance under the national office so I can get in there and start cleaning it up and putting some things in place, basically, so that when people input, you know, we need to input contact reports. We need to be consistent in how we put in reports and how we pull reports, and we need to basically clean it up. So once we get into the system, then I can start cleaning it up, and that's also going to be able to help with, you know, upcoming elections as well, because we'll be able to clean up a lot of the emails and make sure that we have the information that we need for everybody. Once we clean it up and we have the data clean, it may be something that we find that, you know, it's a bigger program than we actually need for our needs. And then we can start looking at the possibility of another donor database. But I don't think we've really given Allegiance a chance because there are very few people within the network that know how to use it properly. And it's not because maybe they don't want to, but it's just, it does take a lot of work to run a donor database. And I think the staff sometimes is pulled a little thin, and donor information is often put on the back burner when technically it shouldn't be, but often that's it does go into the back burner. So the goal, again, is to pay them off, clean it up, and to be able to use it to our fullest, particularly with stewardship and reaching out to lapsed donors.
Mr. Chair, I call for the orders of the day.
Okay, we have gone over time, and therefore the orders of the day are to announce that we are adjourned. Stephanie, thank you very much for staying with us this late. Thank you very much, R. Paul, for all your work as secretary. Thanks, everyone. And let's say good night. We are adjourned.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night, all.
Thank you, James. We'll see you next week. Thank you for all your work.
Thank you, Teresa. Good night.